We were talking off air, and I was just wondering if does the crime rate drop when we get to sub-zero temperatures for an extended period of time? Are they just, is it just too cold to go out and steal something?
I think it's probably too cold for most. Hopefully, you know, being on the air talking about it doesn't bring on a new challenge. But I think too cold for most, unless you get your, as I said before, your diehards out there that still want to commit crimes are going to commit crimes no matter what.
Those diehard criminals, man, they just live to break the law. Yeah.
But you know what? On the other hand, we're working 24/7, 365 as well. So, I mean, whether they're out or not, we are. So
I've been noticing you guys are bundled up just sitting in the squads too. I mean,
been some cold days, and I mean, it's tough to function in the cold, real cold nights if you're outside for long, but it's also our job sometimes too, and we're willing to do it. So
got to do it. Got to do it. Yeah. So, where do we begin today?
I would think let's begin on a positive note. I just want to touch on, like I mentioned earlier, that yesterday's school bus driver appreciation day. So I
absolutely
just shout out to the bus drivers from the police department. So it's, you know, it's our job is safety of the community and the protection of the community. But the school bus drivers, having four kids of my own that ride the bus, I know how important it is that we put a lot of trust in safety and security in those bus drivers. And just a shout out to them. That my job before I came here, I oversaw the state patrol district that was in charge of bus safety and bus inspections kind of thing. And it's truly remarkable how safe those vehicles are.
Yeah.
I mean, people will start talking about seatbelts and things like that on buses and the push for that. And the way they're built is incredible. They don't look like it, but safety is top priority, and the bus drivers are a big part of that. So a shout out to the bus drivers.
Yeah. Someone pointed out to me one time, because I was questioning, why aren't there seatbelts in a school bus? And someone just said, well, if the bus is on fire, do you want 86 kids who are tied into a bus?
Right.
You know, and that's probably not what you want.
Well, exactly. And what a lot of people don't know is a combination of things like that, but then also how that bus is built to withstand like impact and the protection of like the fuel tanks and things like that so they don't start on fire.
Right.
And,
They're
incredible, simple looking vehicle, but incredible how they're built.
Yeah. There's a lot of behind the scenes details that we don't know about, but they're very important.
Right. Exactly. And bus drivers, God bless them. I mean, that's not always the easiest job in the world.
I like I said, having four kids of my own, there's many days I pull my hair out and may look like you here soon. The way that but so now you put on 40 kids.
Yeah.
God bless them. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would, when I was a teacher, when we take field trips, I would always, I'd give this big impassioned speech about the bus because I'm like, be good. Like, I would get on my students if they were misbehaving on the bus, because that it is. It's just such an important job, and they can't be distracted. You know, it's like they got to really focus. Mm-hmm. So,
and you talk about cold, and I look at those people as well, that they're out there every morning in this brutal cold, starting those buses, making sure they're good to go.
And they're opening and closing that door all the time, too.
Oh,
you're dealing with the draft. That's, that ain't easy.
Yeah. Thankless job, but I just wanted to give them a shout out. And
absolutely.
Give thanks to a thankless job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? We'll echo that, too. Absolutely. Thank you.
Other than that, just jump into another exciting thing is trying to do some research, and I'm trying to use your listeners here of trying to figure out the when the police department was established. It's, as we all know in this community, I'm finding that everybody knows everything about Jesse James.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come to find anything on the police department, it's difficult. Early on here, I'm finding that we may have been established in 1875, so a year before the raid.
Yeah, you got here just in time.
So that would put us at 150 years this year.
Congratulations.
So if that's truly the case, of course, we want to do something special with that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially come times for defeat days and bring that into play. But I'm trying to confirm that. So I don't know if there's any of your listeners that have any information as far as confirming that.
I don't know if you've had any conversation with the church in Dundas that puts together it's basically a first responders thank you party late summer that they've done the last couple of years, but that, that might be a nice opportunity for you guys to, celebrate.
Yeah, I've actually had a couple of churches reach out recently and want to do something, not even knowing that this is potentially our 150th year.
That's great.
So yeah, the community support, like I always say when I come in here, has been incredible. And I mean, they're great to work with.
Yep.
They're very appreciative of what we do. So,
I mean, by and large, I think we're all super grateful for you guys being here and for the fire department, the emergency medical services, all you. But since we got a cop right in front of us, thank you to you, sir.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, no, if the two big things I'm looking for is if we can confirm the 1875 year, but then I'm also looking for if we could find like the first badge.
Right. Oh,
the police department.
That would be very cool.
Whether it's photos or the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
The best Northfield historian I know is Susan Vistendahl, who I'm going to guess might be listening right now. So Susan, if you're out there and you could do a little like, or at least point us in the right direction, maybe Sean Allen might know some stuff over at the History Center. I'm sure you've talked to those guys.
See, that's why I bring it on here, because you'll put them right on the spot.
Yeah,
no,
I will.
No pressure.
I should just call Sean right now and say, hey, when was it established? Yesterday was not, we marked an anniversary yesterday that was kind of tough.
Yeah, it's that's why I said I start with the positive news and then go to...
I'll just drag you right down.
I'm good with that. So, yeah, yesterday was the anniversary of the loss of the three Burnsville heroes, and that's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, as well as every law enforcement. So,
ought to be.
Yeah. Prior jobs, when that happened last year, I covered that area for my state patrol district.
Oh, wow.
So I had staff on scene, and then getting phone calls in the early morning hours of what's going on and just starting hearing the news. So it just all hits close to home as well, of course. So, so yesterday, 1 year anniversary, and maybe many here don't understand or know that we have involvement. So the South Metro SWAT team, Northfield Police Department, has three members on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So they had involvement that morning, and we do have a connection here in Northfield.
I was just sitting here thinking, I can't imagine being a police officer and hearing on the radio officer down. That's got to be, I can't even imagine what that's got to be like.
I've been involved in a couple of situations myself where shots are fired and you hear shots fired on the radio. Just that is hard enough. I mean, it's just your adrenaline's already going higher. So then you hear shots fired, and then the next thing you hear is officer down. It's just, everything sinks. But fortunately, with our training and experience, and you saw happen that morning, is that you go into work mode and you rely on your training and experience. And I mean, I can't imagine what the partners went through that morning seeing their partner down, but they did everything they could to save not only all their partners, but their fire department partners, the EMS partners, but then the seven children in that house as well, and keeping them safe. So just an incredible event that had a tragic ending to it. And so,
it's not something, that we're going to forget anytime soon, nor should we. So,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. What else?
So, so I appreciate it, and we appreciate the support on that. I don't know how I segue into that we're hiring.
There's no good segue.
That's your segue right there.
Actually, you know what? Before you get into hiring, you mentioned the idea of partners. Do you work partners with Northfield Police? I mean, do officers have partners here?
Yes. So there's always a minimum of two officers on. So they're always working with somebody. Their schedule will fluctuate back and forth of who they work with.
Okay. So it's not like an assigned partner, but it's just whoever.
It kind of is, just because of how they bid their schedules.
Okay.
But typically a lot of the officers will work together, and then they'll have a sergeant with them as well. So you always have two officers and a supervisor on during most shifts. So,
okay. Interesting.
But, so that's probably a more positive get into hiring now. but no, we're likely advertise here shortly for hiring another officer. Unfortunately, we're losing one today again.
Oh, man.
Officer Jessica Bolkin's going to St. Paul.
Oh, really?
So she'll be leaving her last days today. So that creates another void for us. So advertise soon to hire there. And hopefully we're starting to see some of the numbers come back in the schools a little bit as far as the colleges, but not nearly what we need. And in fact, I just heard a stat 2 weeks ago when I was at a training that we're going to have more retirements alone than we have candidates coming out in the schools.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my simple small town math. That still doesn't work. So,
I was sort of under the impression we talked with Sheriff Thomas about this a little bit, that like the last, I think, you know, knock on wood, when we talked to him, at least they were fully staffed for the moment. Like even I think they needed a couple of correctional officers, but on the patrol side they were fully staffed, and so I asked if that was, you know, are things coming back around? And he said, well, we had 18 candidates for the last position, and before that we'd had 4 or something to that effect. And he tells a story that when he applied for his first patrol job, there were 400 candidates. And so we're nowhere near where we used to be, obviously. But does it feel like it's coming back a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. And the comparison I'll give is 2 officers ago that we hired, I think on that round there was 3 applicants.
Mm.
And then the next officer, there was 11. So it did come back a little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we get this time. But like similar to the sheriff said, I look back to when I applied to the State Patrol initially, there was 1,600 applicants for 22 jobs across the state.
Yeah.
In comparison, I think this last year they had just over 300 for at that point they could probably hire up to 90.
Wow.
So it's just huge change.
Wow.
And, you know, the numbers aren't there. And we're going to try some new programs and trying to figure out how to incorporate it into Northfield as well. There's a new grant that's out that I'm going to try and get where it's basically you can have a degree in anything and then we'll get you the schooling and get you the training to become a police officer. So, I mean, if we can do something like that.
As long as you've got at least a 2-year degree.
Yep, exactly.
You can work with that.
Yeah, Minnesota has a requirement for education degree for law enforcement. Some other states you can basically have a high school diploma and get in. Minnesota, we do not.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you could have that degree from an accredited school. We'll send you to basically a law enforcement school, get you that degree, and then it's a pathway to hiring. So we're not doing it here yet. I'm looking at it now, but it's just another option.
It's a good incentive, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that education requirement, the college degree, is that frustrating? I know your predecessor would grumble about that a little bit, but
I think in days past when we had, like I said, the 1,600 applicants, it was a little different. And some agencies have also put on a 4-year degree requirement.
Oh.
So I think it was one of them tools back in that day that you got a 4-year degree, you're kind of dwindling your applicant pool a little bit because you could back then.
Right.
Today we can't. So it is much more difficult now. And truly, we had the program at the state when I left there that of bringing those applicants in from any degree, getting them their law enforcement education. Yeah. And we were finding some great cops from that.
That's great.
I mean, you talk to most people on the street, and even if they love their job, it's like, hey, if you weren't doing this job, what else would you be doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not just cops. And every person can name that job that they would be doing if they went to gone into the career they would have.
Yeah. What would you be doing?
I always wanted to be a lineman.
There it is. See, I always wanted to be Bruce Springsteen. So I mean,
you were talking about great entertainers before I came in. So there you go.
There you go.
So it's everybody has that job that they would or want to do, and
yeah,
you know, and it's quite honestly, there's people out there saying, oh, I always thought about being in law enforcement.
Yeah.
So now, well, it's how do we grab that person and bring them into the career?
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, people who maybe they start off going to school and they're a psychology major, you know. I think that would be a person who could potentially be a really great candidate, you know, or somebody who already has something that's kind of a conduit or a pathway into your field, you know, but maybe it's not always so obvious.
It's like you know how the system works because one of the state programs is called Pathways to Policing.
Oh, really? There you go.
You're on to something.
So, and I promise you, he did not read ahead.
And I did not.
So I'm impressed. Do you have a 2-year degree?
Can yeah. I'm already taken. Sorry.
So okay. So we're down one. And when do you expect to post?
Probably could be as soon as next week.
Okay. All right.
So it's about a 4-month process to get that person first day in the door and, mm-hmm. and into the car. And
yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, wow. it's a long process.
Yeah.
When you
well,
add in background and everything.
Gotta be careful about who you're giving a badge to for sure.
Well, and that's the difficult part with it is we still do have applicants that.
Yeah.
I mean, every agency does that. They apply and they may look good on the cover, but when you start digging, it's like, yeah, I'm not willing to take that risk with some, and then nor should the city or the residents expect right. to have right. that little bit of risk too. That's the last thing we want is a bad officer in no. our city.
You know, yeah.
No.
Give all the good ones a black eye.
Well, and thank God for Dundas, because you can just reach over to Dundas and grab one.
I don't know if I can publicly say that. But.
I've been noticing. It's okay. And so is Janelle Teppin, by the way. But staff-wise, is it just the one that we're down, or how
yeah,
you
yeah, fortunately, we're down just with Jessica leaving yeah. today. Technically, it's two, but...
Okay. Do you have anyone in training right now?
We started a new one this week.
Oh, cool.
And then another one should be coming aboard here like the first week of March.
Fantastic.
So those are counted towards our current staff. So mm-hmm. when I say down yeah. two, it's not including those.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So it doesn't sound like a lot when you say you're down one or two, but when you're a staff of 26, yeah. I mean, it's
yeah.
it makes a difference.
It does.
It's a dent in it when you're a 24/7 service. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of overtime. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else is going on, sir?
Winter parking.
Okay.
I feel like a broken record coming yeah. in here talk about winter parking, but it seems like winter does not end.
No, it doesn't.
we were debating off air here before we went on how many snowy emergencies
yeah.
we declared, and I know of one for sure, but mm-hmm. possibly second, but I think it might only be one.
And knock on wood, because March, they say, is the snowiest month of the year, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, so winter parking will end March 15th.
Okay.
Of course, if now that you bring up snowiest month, if we get a bunch of snow, that doesn't mean we can't have a snow emergency in
right.
there as well.
Sure.
But
the rules in general expire on
yeah,
March
the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. rules expire on March 15th.
Gotcha.
So after that day, it changes a little bit with the exception of snow emergencies.
So, okay, help me out with this, because I thought 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. ban was year-round.
So...
okay.
I better,
am I calling you out here? I don't mean to do
You're
that.
You're calling me out here. So there's... different parking rules in the winter, as far as like there's interfering with snow removal,
uh-huh.
and then there's winter parking ban kind of thing. So
yep.
it, there is some variation in the winter. So, so yeah, calling me out a little bit here. Now I'd have to do my homework. I haven't been here long enough,
sorry,
Rich. But, but specifically talking about winter parking, that yeah. so we'll the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the winter specific, we'll be citing for the parking. Okay. So we start out with doing warnings in that and in the early winter. Now mm-hmm. we're in the mm-hmm. citation mode. We're doing pretty well. I mean, mm-hmm. we get complaints, but we're doing pretty well with that. When you get into interfering with snow operations,
yep.
that's the winter, or excuse me, the snow emergency, yeah. and that's where we're towing your car.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, as well you mm-hmm. should.
I mean, and even that, we've been, yeah, granted, only one snow emergency.
You know, I've got stories about when I would be bartending at the Contented Cow, and it would be 1:30 in the morning, and we'd just close, and we're trying to get cleaned up and everything, and Mark Murphy would walk in and say, "Hey, Rich, toss me your keys. I'm going to move your car over to the Nuger parking lot because we got to get the snow out of there." I mean, to me, that's the epitome of community policing right there. I mean, that's fantastic. But I do know that you guys go out of your way to not tow somebody's car.
Yeah, it's you talk about the cold winter and the officers all bundled up in it, and it's like we don't enjoy it either, you know, getting out and dealing with all the cars on the street in the cold. But you know, for efficiency of snow removal, especially, I mean, it's important getting the streets cleared curb to curb. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there are the permits available if need, but we will help out with a situation like you just brought up. If if we can help, I mean, yeah, the last thing we want to do is tow your car.
Kind right. of deal, so.
Because then you have another much more expensive problem on your hands exactly. and inconvenience. Yeah, so exactly. take those few extra minutes, find a different parking right. space.
Yep.
Chief, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I just, again, like I always say, I appreciate the support, and then the men and women of the police department here appreciate it. And
we appreciate
we do
you
what
guys.
We can.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So.